be here in Texas. I didn't realize I was supposed to bring my winter jacket from Colorado. Yesterday, I left Denver. I was saying to my wife, do I bring long sleeve shirts or do I bring short sleeve shirts? I'm going to Texas. Short sleeve shirts I should be bringing. I woke up this morning and I opened the door at Matthew, if you're familiar with His Hill, and I walked out and I thought, did I come to Texas or Canada? It is cold out there. Well, a few weeks ago I was in Green Bay and it was negative 19, so it's tropics here in Texas. Great. Well, thank you, John, and it's wonderful to be here this week. I'll be at His Hill, and it's wonderful to have the privilege to share this morning. Just briefly, a little bit about myself. I grew up in upstate New York, about 2 hours north of New York City in the Hudson Valley area there, but I've been on staff at Ravencrest Chalet now for 29 years, and Ravencrest being one of the 25 torchbearer centers scattered around the world, and when I finished high school, I had the privilege of traveling with Major Thomas, who is the founder of Torchbearers, and I had the opportunity to travel with him for a year and a half, week after week, just traveling the world, but seeing Christ through all of the ministry that took place. My wife, Krista, is from Southern Ontario in Canada. I would imagine there's a few Canadians scattered in the crowd here this morning from His Hill. But Krista and I have four kids. We've got twin boys that are 23. We've got a third son that's 21 and a daughter that is 19. And Annika is 19, Isaac's 21, and Andrew and Ben are 23 each. And our son Andrew was actually a student at His Hill a few years ago. So it really is a privilege. I appreciate Charlie asking me to share this morning with you. When I was in high school, I had the opportunity of serving on staff in the summer times over at Cape and Ray Hall in England. And I remember waking up in the mornings and looking across the English countryside, and you would hear the sheep, and you would see a shepherd. And it was an incredible scene to see these shepherds caring for these sheep. And this morning, I want to just spend some time looking at Jesus Christ, the great shepherd. I know that with Charlie, you're going through 1 Peter, and in a couple weeks, you're going to be looking at chapter 5, in which Peter himself encouraging the believers around what it is to be a shepherd. And so if I was to begin the statement, I want you to finish it. The Lord is my shepherd. We can know the shepherd's psalm, but do we know the shepherd? And that's the question I want to ask us this morning, in which we can know Scripture, but do we know the Christ of Scripture? We can know the shepherd's psalm, but do we know the shepherd himself? If you have your Bibles, turn with me to John chapter 10. John chapter 10, in which Jesus Christ of the I Ams throughout Scripture and throughout the Gospel of John, in which Jesus Christ says, I am the good shepherd. And in John chapter 10, we're going to look at verses 1 through 16. John chapter 10, beginning at verse 1, and I'm going to read the first 5 verses to begin. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, he is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own by name and leads them out. When he puts forth all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. A stranger, they simply will not follow, but will flee from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. And so in this first section, verses 1 to 5, concerning the great shepherd, I want to give you this statement. He possesses the right credentials. As the great shepherd, he possesses the right credentials. And what were those credentials? He came properly, as you see in verses 1 to 3. He came properly, in which Jesus Christ, he was full God, and in which when he stepped from the heavenlies, he became as man, in which he was full deity, but perfect humanity. He came properly, as from Old Testament prophecy, he was born of a virgin. He was born in Bethlehem. He came in the fullness of time. And so Jesus Christ was the right person, born in the right place, born at the right time. As the other shepherds would have been deceptive shepherds, he was the great shepherd, the true shepherd, the right person, born in the right place, arrived at the right time, summoned from the right country, attended by the right sign, a star. He was Jewish, he was God, he was man, and he was a king. In Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, you know the passage of scripture in which Isaiah says, "For unto us," who's the us? The Jews. "A child will be born," means he's a man. "His name will be called Mighty God, and he will sit on the throne of David." And so when you look at the genealogy of Jesus Christ in Matthew, and you look at the genealogy of Jesus Christ in the Gospel of Luke, you'll see that he's Jewish. He's the son of Abraham. He is God. He's the son of God. He's man. He's the son of Adam. And he's a king. He's the son of David. So the right man, born at the right place, at the right time, attended by the right sign. Now, as you know, concerning the shepherd himself, when he was born in Bethlehem, who were the first people to come to the birth of Jesus? The shepherds. And these would have been the shepherds that year by year took care of the sheep that would be sacrificed as on that Day of Atonement in the place of covering of the sins on behalf of the nation of Israel. So the first people to come and witness the birth of the great shepherd were the shepherds that took care of the sheep, and they will come and witness the Lamb of God, in which Jesus Christ, the Son of God, became a man that men could become sons of God. Isn't it an amazing picture in which God himself stepped into humanity to rescue humanity out of the depths of sin, that you and I could become sons of God? If you were walking by a swimming pool and there was someone that was drowning and they were shouting for help, would you stop by and say, "Swim, swim, swim"? No. You would step into their need and meet them where they were and take them where you're going. The right man, born in the right place, at the right time, became the great shepherd. Isn't that an amazing picture of what Christ has done for us? Not only do you see he had the right credentials, he came properly, but also in having the right credentials, he calls properly. So as you see, he possesses the right credentials, verses 1 to 5. Verse 1 to 3, he came properly. The second thing that you would see, he calls properly. Look at verse 3. "To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own by name and leads them out. He calls properly. Shepherds in the day were sharing often the same sheepfold, but the sheep knew the voice of their shepherd. It's like a nursery today. Now, as someone said, there must be a few pregnant mothers in the room or in the church. But in a nursery, you can have all of these children, all of these little ones, and it's amazing. I remember when my wife gave birth, she knew the voices, the sounds of our kids. In my mind, they all sound the same. A crying baby is a crying baby, right? But my wife was able to go, oh, that's Ben. Oh, that's Isaac. I'm like, a baby's a baby, aren't they? But she knew the sound. Aren't you glad he calls properly? He calls his own sheep by their name. What does a name speak of? A name speaks of identity, and a name speaks of intimacy. Right, Wade? A name. Right, Josh? A name. A name gives identity, and a name gives intimacy. I give a name, and you think of an identity. Donald Trump. I give a name, and you think of an identity. Nick Foles, if you watched the Super Bowl last week. A name gives identity, but a name gives intimacy. And many of you in this room are parents, and maybe parents of many children. Did you find yourself ever doing this when you would be calling your children? Ben, Andrew, Isaac, Ben, Andrew, Ben, Isaac, Andrew, you know, Annika, she's our one girl. If I made that mistake, there's a problem. But an identity is given in a name, and when he calls us, he doesn't have to go through a list. He doesn't have to say, oh, I forgot your name. He knows us. He calls properly. He identifies us. And with that identity is an intimacy. Isn't it amazing when someone knows your name? It brings intimacy. Not only, as we've seen so far, not only did he come properly, not only does he call properly, but as you look at verses 4 and 5, he commands properly. When he puts forth all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. A stranger, verse 5, they will simply not follow, but will flee from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. He came properly. He calls properly. The third thing that you would see here is he commands properly. He goes before them and he leads them out. Jesus Christ is a person, not of intimidation and manipulation, but Jesus Christ himself is a person of inspiration and motivation. In leadership, you can have individuals that intimidate. You can have leaders that manipulate. But Jesus Christ, our life, he is one that inspires and motivates, in which he meets people where they are and he takes them where he's going. He takes them where he's going. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. In a world in which we live, there can be much darkness. And I know we can spend time this morning talking about all of the darkness around us. But what's the best way to get rid of darkness? Not crusading against darkness, not marching against darkness, not speaking against darkness. The best way to get rid of darkness is to turn on the light. And so often we remove ourselves instead of allowing Christ, who is our life, through us. We are simply humanity as clothed in his deity, in which his life is given that opportunity in which Christ himself can shine through us as light of the world in the world in which we live, as love to the world in which we live. I am the way to those that are lost. I am the truth to those that are stuck in a lie, and I am life to those that are lifeless. What an incredible privilege as we wake up every morning to allow him to live his life through us in the world in which we live. Keep your finger there in John and just turn with me to Ezekiel chapter 34, in which Christ himself, the great shepherd, Ezekiel chapter 34 and beginning at verse 11, he goes before them and he leads them out as Christ himself, as the Lord speaking to the nation of Israel in Ezekiel chapter 34 and beginning at verse 11. For thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out as a shepherd cares for his herd in the day when he is among his scattered sheep. So I will care for my sheep and will deliver them from all the places to which they were scattered on a cloudy and gloomy day. I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and bring them to their own land. And I will feed them on the mountains of Israel by the streams and all the inhabitant places of the land. I will feed them in a good pasture in which he came properly, he calls properly, he commands properly with the purpose of going before them and leading them out, not by intimidation and manipulation, but by inspiration and motivation. He meets people where they are. Aren't you glad? But he doesn't leave us where we are. He takes us to where he's going. And as humanity, in which we ourselves today, his life through us, let us meet people where they are, take them where we're going to the way, the truth, and the life. A familiar passage of scripture, as you would know, in Matthew chapter 11, in verses 28 to 30, in which Jesus Christ says this, come to me, all who are weary. This morning, are you weary? Come to me, all who are weary. And he says, take my yoke and find rest. That picture of that yoke was of a rabbi's teaching, but it was often seen as an agricultural device in which one animal would be a lead animal, the other animal would be a learning animal. One part of the yoke was set, the other part of the yoke was adjusted, and so the lead animal would lead, and the other learning animal, as it would develop, it was adjusted there. That learning animal would learn from the lead animal, and they would walk together. A friend of ours was at a place where there was yoked oxen, and he thought it would be great to get his picture taken. And so he proceeded to stand between the yoked oxen, when all of a sudden, as he was standing there, the oxen began to kick up a fuss. And the farmer came over and said, sir, you never stand in the middle of yoked oxen, because oxen never allow anything to get between them. He's the lead, and I'm the learner. Do I allow anything to get between us? He's the lead, and you're the learner. Is there anything that you're allowing to get between you and him? He's our life. He's the source of all that we need. Why do we settle for second best when what he has to offer is the best? The Good Shepherd. Let's go back to John chapter 10 and picking up at verse 6 to 10. Not only does he possess the right credentials, he came properly, he calls properly, he commands properly, But now we can see in verses 6 to 10, he possesses the right character. He possesses the right character. Verse 6 of John chapter 10. This figure of speech, Jesus spoke to them, but they did not understand that those things were which he had been saying to them. So Jesus said to them again, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." And so the second thing, he possesses the right character. And in this passage of Scripture, what are aspects of that? His personality is seen. He is redeeming and saving the lost, as you see. He's redeeming and saving the lost, his personality. And what about his personality in which you and I are set free? And he doesn't look to our past, but he looks to our future. And so often we allow the evil one in our lives, and whatever it might be, we allow our past to define us. And whatever it is in your life, don't allow your past to define you, but allow God to use your past to refine you to become the men and women of God that he wants you to be. The evil one wants to paralyze us with pain of the past, in which you have been set free in Christ. You have been set free, but the evil one wants to paralyze us with the pain of the past, or he wants to hypnotize us with fear of the future, and he causes us to be utterly useless in the present. The Good Shepherd came to set us free of the pain of the past and to set us free of the fear of the future, that his life would be exhibited through our lives every step, every day, as we live. His personality is redeeming and saving the lost. The second thing about possessing the right character in this passage of Scripture, his passion and purpose is nurturing and nourishing the sheep. Not only does he redeem us, but he nourishes us. You see that in verse 9. And then also his promise. His personality, he redeems us. His passion, he nourishes us. And in verse 9 and 10, it says, I'll read verse 10, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have what? I came that they may have what? Life. And what type of a life is that? Abundant life. It's like going to a buffet and eating all you want. It's there. But so often we just settle for a salad when you could go to a barbecue. And that's what I'm here for this week, Texas barbecue, in which don't settle for a salad, even though a salad's good. Take it all in. And that's the life that you and I have. Have you settled for a salad? Are you going for brisket? Go for the brisket. Enjoy the fullness of the life that you have in Christ. Years ago, I took our boys on a Father's Day weekend trip to a place called Moab in Utah. And we were going to go camping by the river there, and we had fun. And on the way out, we put all the stuff in the back of the truck and made our way back to Colorado. About a 6-hour drive to where we live there in Estes Park. And as we were getting onto I-70 there to make our way back to Grand Junction, Colorado, and then continuing on, I happened to look down at the gas gauge, and it was on empty. Now, I remember, you know, the little yellow light still has to come on, and I can still drive about another 30 miles. And as I looked down the gas gauge, I thought, do I fill up now or keep driving? Fill up or keep driving? Fill up, keep driving, fill up. I'm going to keep driving. Well, then as I made my way about within 5 miles of being on the interstate, I saw this little, I think it was a blue sign, and it said, next service station, 70 miles. So now I got an option. And my boys are watching. They were little ones at that point, but they were quite smart at that age. Do I go back and fill up or keep going? Life is a competitive sport. I'm going to keep driving. 70 miles, I'm trying to gauge how much I have left. Probably about 30-some miles away from that gas station, the yellow light comes on. Wonderful Father's Day weekend, camping with the boys, mountain biking with the boys, turned into this. You're going to be in trouble. We can't wait to tell Mom. If you run out of gas, you're going to be in trouble. You guys be quiet. I know what I'm doing. A wonderful Father's Day weekend turned into me being filled with anger, empty, and exhausted. We eventually made it as the truck was pulling in like this to the gas station. When you're running on empty, are you exhausted? When you're running on empty, who do you take it out on? The person sitting next to you? Or the person in the room? The person in your car? A person in your family? I want to encourage each one of us this morning. I'm either running on empty and I'm exhausted, or I'm full and overflowing. Jesus Christ said, I've come to give you life. And you know what type of life that is? Abundant. Are you the kind of person that pulls up at a gas station every other day and puts $10 in? That's not the kind of life that Christ has given to us. He's given us a life that goes right to the F, full. It's not $10 on Sunday. And sometimes that's what many of us look to our Christian life to be. You've pulled up to a gas station. You know what the gas station this morning's called? Bernie Bible Church. Don't just put $10 in, but let the Spirit of God have full reign, that you are full and overflowing. It's wonderful to come to a church and have your oil changed. It's fun to come to a church and get topped up. But it's throughout the week, that we have to allow His life, not empty and exhausted, but full and overflowing, that the world around us would not see us, but the world around us would see Christ live through us. That is what it means to abide. The abiding life is all that He is through all that I am to all the world around me. What an incredible privilege. He possesses the right character. His personality, redeeming the lost. His passion, nourishing the sheep. And His promise, full and overflowing with the fullness of His life. When you walk out this morning, ask, am I empty and exhausted? Or am I full and overflowing with His life? And then the last thing, as we see in verses 11 to 16, here in John chapter 10, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down His life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep, sees the wolf coming, leaves the sheep, and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he's a hired hand and he is not concerned about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know him, know me. Even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep which are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will hear my voice, and they will become one flock with one shepherd. Not only does he possess the right credentials, not only does he possess the right character, but as we finish in this last section, he possesses the right concern. He possesses the right concern. And in verses 11 to 13, as you look at word by word through that section, his concern is proven by his sacrifice. A hired hand means they're just in it for the money. But the Good Shepherd, he sees us. And he lays down his life for us. Our one son, Andrew, is just finishing a degree in criminal justice, and he's in the police academy for Fort Collins, Colorado. He's going to be a policeman. The world in which we live, authority is not seen as authority. But in talking with Andrew just a few days ago, I saw his heart. In the midst of the turmoil of the police force and really the disrespect in our culture, he has a heart to lay down his life for those he would serve. If you were to meet our son Andrew, and I know there's one or two maybe in the room that have been a policeman, I know it's going to be difficult for our son Andrew to give someone a speeding ticket, especially his mom. He's going to find it a challenge. But you know there's something about Andrew? That if there was an intruder in a building, if there was a scene that needed to be taken care of, our son Andrew would be the first one in to take care. He has that kind of heart. He is willing to lay down his life. Much more than that, Jesus Christ, he's not a hired hand. He didn't do it for money, but he gave his life that you and I could be set free. His concern is proven by his sacrifice. But then also, as you see, his concern is understood by his sheep. His concern is understood by his sheep. And then the last thing that you see, his concern is proven by his salvation. It's proven by his salvation. And I just want us to just look at that verse there, beginning at verse 14. I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me. The good shepherd knows the sheep. We as sheep, do we know him? I don't know if you've ever seen a father often taking little ones, and I did this as a father. Maybe some of you in the room have done this. You take your children, and you begin to throw them up in the air, and you catch them. You throw them up, and you catch them. You throw them up, and you catch them. When you put them down and you walk away, what do your kids say? Do it again, Dad. Do it again. Why do children trust their father when their father takes them like this, throws them up and catches them, and throws them up and catch them? Why does a child trust its father? A child trusts its father because the child knows the father. Do you find it difficult to trust God? Do I find it difficult to trust God? If I find it difficult to trust God, it's because I don't know him as well as I should. This morning, God is trustworthy as our great shepherd. And as the great shepherd, he meets us where we are, and he takes us where he's going, the way, the truth, and the life. Do you know him? If you're running on empty, enjoy time with him that he can fill and overflow his life. Let me finish with this. A number of years ago, we were hiking in the Rocky Mountains with a friend. There were a few of us in the hiking party. There were about six or seven of us. And as we were hiking along the trail, we noticed that the gentleman that was leading us, a friend of ours, his backpack was zipped open a little bit. So we thought it would be fun as we were walking along the trail to pick up some rocks along the trail, and we just quietly placed them in his backpack. And as he's walking like this, you can almost see his back going back like this as we're putting these rocks in his backpack. He didn't notice till when we stopped for lunch. As he was taking off his backpack, he said, "This backpack's a little heavier than when I started." And when he zipped it open, there were six or seven rocks crushing his peanut butter and jelly sandwich. As you and I are walking through life, the evil one, the hired hand, wants to weigh us down. Wants to weigh us down in our backpacks. What rocks do you have in your backpack? Take off the backpack. Because the Good Shepherd, and in a few weeks you're going to see it in 1 Peter chapter 5, he says, "Come unto me, cast all your care upon him, because he cares for you. Cast off, receive his care, and walk on." Don't allow your past to define you, but allow God to use your past to refine you, to become the men and women of God that he desires for each of us to be. Come to him, follow him, go with him, with his life to the world around. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord, for this morning. And I pray for each one of us in this room, that even now, before we go into the rest of the day and the beginning of this week, that we would take time to be still in your presence. As the great shepherd, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down, then he leads." And Lord, this morning, may you make us lie down to be fed by you in order to be led by you to the world around us. What a privilege to share together, to be in your word, to learn from you, and to allow your life to be lived through us in the world around us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thanks for listening.